And I believe we have with us Rabbi Galperin on the phone.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, thank God. And how are you?
I am good. I'm sorry I don't have the introduction song, Sha Sha Sha, for you, because my computer is not with us anymore.
Oh, no.
But I hope that next week I'll have it.
Okay, I hope so too.
Yeah, he was 10 years old and he did what he had to do. And
so I hope you have everything backed up.
I have everything backed up, yeah.
Okay, good.
I'm good.
The main thing
this
is
time I'm good.
We need to have the sha-sha.
Sha-sha-sha, I can sing if you want.
Sure, why not?
But then the listeners will leave the show.
Anyway, so
Parshat HaShavua.
So this week's Torah portion is Bechukotai.
Yeah.
Which God promises that if the people of Israel will keep His commandments, they will enjoy material prosperity and dwell and secure in their homeland, which is the homeland of Israel, which really has a lot of meaning to a lot of people, especially to Jews and non-Jews. It also ties in, really, if you think about it, to something that is happening in a few weeks in this community, which is the Negev dinner,
yep,
which brings out and supports many different projects in Israel, which is our homeland. And I believe you're going to be speaking to one of the honorees shortly, which is, you know, a testament to what they're doing and their values and so on and so forth, is making sure that the homeland is taken care of,
yeah,
and is secure. We also learn that even when they are in the land of the enemies, as it says in this week's Torah portion, I will not cast them away, nor will I leave them. I will always be their God. And then God also then calculates the value, as it talks about at the end of the Torah portion, of different types of pledges made to God, the mitzvah of tithing produce and livestock, and the mitzvah of tithe, of maaser, which really fits in, you know, as I'm thinking about it more, coming the JNF Negev dinner, even if you're not planning on going for whatever reason, still give your tithe, your 10% of your earnings can go to a very good cause.
Definitely.
There is a very interesting verse in this week's portion of the Chukotai, and it says like this: you will eat the very old grain, and you will remove the old to make way for the new. And one of the interesting interpretation on this verse is understood that the very old is to symbolize God, who has been around since time was created, who represents eternity. And it says further that one ought to eat and satiate one's hunger with the very old God. Yet there comes a time in our life when we need to remove the old to make way for the new. And what they're trying to say is that we should never get stuck in our own definitions of God. We must be ready to abandon our old perception of God for the sake of a more real and mature relationship with ultimate reality. You know, I remember hearing a story once that a man approached a rabbi one morning in the synagogue, and he expressed his anguish over the fact that he does not experience God anymore in his life. And he goes on to say that, you know, when he was younger, or, you know, he wasn't necessarily into religion and so on and so forth, and then he started becoming closer and returning to Jewish observances. And he said that he felt a intimate relationship with God. You know, he sensed his truth and his depth and so on and forth and so forth. And today, the man continued. You know, he's still a practicing Jew. He puts on tefillin every day. You know, he prays three times a day. He keeps the Shabbat. But God is absent from my life. How do I reignite? How do I re-become, quote-unquote, the Baal Tshuva, the returnee to Jewish observance again? And the rabbi is now looking at him, and he noticed that he has a tear in his eye. And he thought that he may be far better off than a lot of people that were born, that have been practicing all their life religion, Jewish observance, who never ever shed a tear over God's absence from their life. And he attempted to identify and try and connect with this Jewish individual struggle, and he was talking to him and so on and so forth. And after the conversation, he noticed on the table that they were in the synagogue a 200-year-old Hasidic work titled Noam Elimelech, which was a very, very spiritual individual rabbi, and he wrote many, many books. And he opened the book. He was an author in the 18th century. He was from Lizhen, and he was flipping, and he randomly came to this week's Torah portion, and he wrote in his commentary on the first verse of the portion that there is a grammatical lack of accuracy in the blessing that we recite daily, because what we say is like this. We say, Baruch Ata Hashem, blessed are you, Lord our God, we say, who has sanctified us with His commandments. And if you think about it, that's a very, very strange way of making a blessing. Why do we begin the blessing by addressing God in a second person, who has, blessed are you? And then we conclude by addressing Him really in a third person, who has sanctified us with His commandments. How does that make sense? And something that I think is so important, which is so interesting, is that in the beginning of a person's spiritual journey, when first discovering God in one's life, God seems very near. At that special moment of discovery, you feel that, you know, you have God, that you grasp His depth, His truth, His grace, and you are God, you and God are, for the lack of better terms, you know, like, you're like Pell. You cry to Him, you laugh to Him, you're vulnerable in His midst, like one who is reunited with a best friend that you haven't seen in so many years. You think, like, wow, God, you're awesome. Amazing. But you know, as you continue to climb the ladder of spiritual sensitivity, you come to discover how remote God really is from you. You come to learn how inaccessible and elusive He is, how unfathomable and indescribable God really is. Yes, it is precisely when the feeling of I have God withers away and is replaced by the sense of void, that you can't really see Him or think you can't understand Him, that is the time that you're actually closest to Him. Because when you mature in your spiritual life, you begin to sense something of His infinity. And who among us could ever feel that they can grasp anything that is infinite? And it is this state of mind that the prophet Isaiah says, and he's addressing when he says this famous verse, peace, peace to him who is far and near, and I will heal him. How does that make sense? How can one be both far and near simultaneously? That makes no sense. And the Hasidic master, Rebbe Elimelech, answers and he says that Isaiah is referring to the Jew who feels that he is far, but in truth he's very near. The very fact that he senses his remoteness is really indicative of his closeness. If he truly were to be distant, he would actually feel close. Therefore, if you think about it, when the first Jew, Abraham, is taking his son Isaac to the Akedah, to the binding of Isaac, atop of the sacred mountain of Moriah in Jerusalem, the Torah tells us that on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place from his afar. And Abraham said to his descendants, "You stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad, the son, will go. We will prostrate ourselves and then return to you." Why did Abraham take his attendants along if he was to leave them behind? What was the point of taking them on the whole journey? Because it was only Abraham who looked up and saw the place from afar. Only Abraham realized how remote he still was from the divine mountain. His attendants, his people that he brought with him, on the other hand, actually thought that the place was very near. At that moment, Abraham became aware of the vast sea separating his spiritual state from theirs. And he knew that they were not ready yet to accompany him on his journey towards God. And that is really our paradox in our spiritual process. The closer we become, the further we must become. It is to this that the Jew, that a person that is harboring, you know, deep frustration, that I don't see God, so on and so forth, but God sends forth his promise, "I will heal who is far and near." So sometimes we become happy and content and say, "Well, I'm connected to God," because, but every time we need to be doing new things. What happens when we're doing those new things?
Continuation,
correct. And reaffirming and rebecoming. And, you know, I remember hearing this, and it really sticks more in my mind all the time. You know, the expression that says, the more you learn, the more you realize how much you don't know. And that is exactly the same thing. The more we try and get connected to God, the more we realize, wow, this in great infinite life of God and who he is, I cannot feel or touch, but I can connect. How do I connect? I connect through doing what he wants, Torah, mitzvah. And when you do connect in those ways, you feel this connection like a long-lost friend that you haven't seen in 10 years, and you give such a hug, and you, wow, you feel this awesomeness, greatness. And that is something that I think is so powerful, something that we can really learn from this big Torah portion, that sometimes we need to remove the old, but not take away Torah and mitzvahs, that's old, and forget about it, let's do the new. No, sometimes we need to remove the old ourselves and make for the new person who we have become and who we will become. And I think that is something that is a very important lesson that we can learn from this big Torah portion.
It is.
Now we have something that is very amazing coming up. We're bringing out a speaker, Rami Sherman, who is going to be speaking about Operation Thunderbolt, the miracle of Entebbe.
Yeah.
He was there. He was right behind the Mercedes-Benz. He was one of the first commandos down. He's going to share first-hand accounts of how Israel pulled off the greatest hostage rescue in history. There's never been something like that before.
No, it was a very heroic rescue operation.
100%. And it's fascinating. You know, we all see the video, watch, you know, hear and talk, but to come in here firsthand how it exactly happened is, I think, an evening that no one wants to miss. It's going to be Sunday, June 23rd at the Jewish Community Center. 7 o'clock, doors open with refreshments. 7:30 will be a presentation by Rami Sherman, and obviously with questions and answers, so on and so forth. It's open to the whole community. Anyone's invited, welcome to come. Admission is $10 online, $15 at the door. You can go on to WindsorChabad.com and purchase tickets. And we're going to have the amazing Windsor Police Department that's going to be there as well to make sure that everyone is safe and secure. So I look forward to seeing everyone. It should be an evening that is going to be amazing.
And what about Shabbat services?
We have Shabbat services Friday evening, 7:30. Shabbat morning is going to be at 9:30. And we have also Sunday morning is 8:30 followed by breakfast, and Monday and Thursday is 7:15. A great way to start the day.
Sounds great, Rabbi. I want to wish you Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
A great weekend.
Yeah, I look forward to talking next week.
Same here.
All right. Be well, Ilan.
Bye bye.